The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Pulillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. Oh, wait, I just got word here that somehow the Texans have just both surrendered another sack while also being flagged for roughing the passer 15 minutes after the game has ended. That tracks. Texan season comes to an end. This will be one of the seasons where you really do have to wonder what could have been with a healthy complement of receivers. The offensive line crumbles in the second half, a series of horrendous missteps on special teams, and a steady dose of bad calls and critical moments. Texans fall to the Chiefs. Guys, this was ugly towards the end. Stroud gets knocked out on his eighth sack surrendered. We have to start on the offensive side of the ball. If you told me that the Texans lead the league in surrendering sacks on four-man rushes, I would somehow believe you. Let's start on that offensive side of the ball. What did you guys see that turned the momentum in the Chiefs' favor in the second half on the offensive side for Houston?
Well, down the stretch, when you're down two scores, you don't have time to finesse your way down the field. The drive that should have tied the game if Fairbairn hadn't chumped the extra point, I mean, what a drive. What a drive. 15 plays, more than 10 minutes, but you lost the luxury of being able to blend and continue to run the ball with Mixon when you were chasing the score and the clock in the fourth quarter. So the Chiefs could tee off. The Texans offensive line, whether worn down, then throwing out schemed. I mean, at least two of the eight sacks. Again, Bobby Slowa, Chris Strausser with the schemes. Yeah, ask Dalton Schultz to block pure pass rushers. I mean, it's just stupid. We could trace that to the very beginning of the season. That was an issue, so appropriate that that bit them in the butt in the end. Asking Schultz on the island against a George Karloftis is just idiotic. Now, there are times if they rush more than you have to block, the Texans, they're just not good enough yet. Incremental progress. They were legitimately in this game into the fourth quarter, as opposed to at Baltimore, where they got blown off the field in the second half last season. But the offense, two field goals in the first half, 6 points minus the extra point, it would have been seven in the second half. You can't expect to win when you score 10 points in a playoff game, 12 points plus the safety at the end, the offense had nothing to do with. The offensive line. That's where work is needed. Credit in defeat offensively to Xavier Hutchinson, who made a number of catches working the middle of the field. Obviously, it wasn't a point of emphasis of the Chiefs defense, but you still had to make plays. The Texans are still on the right track, but this was not a season of great advancement in the end. They go out in the same round. They do not lose by one score, and they remain 0 for their history on the road in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line in Slowick, the offensive line coach, they should be ashamed of themselves today. And Dalton Schultz, as Charlie mentioned, he was terrible at blocking. Him and Dare had a double there on Karloftis, and he still got that big hit on CJ and hurt him at the end of the game. I mean, he is just getting beat to hell. You don't see that happening with Patrick Mahomes. So imagine what CJ could do if every time he needed a first down, the refs would just throw a phantom penalty and let you continue, you know, matriculating down the field. I mean, absolutely horrendous. Troy Aikman was right. The Will Anderson call, the the one, what was the other one where, was it Toa and somebody else right there where they hit each other and they called that one on Mahomes. What really bothered me was the flop from Mahomes at the end there, man. I know we're supposed to be talking about the offense, but I'm just so upset about that. I'm like, okay, you want to play dirty? We can play dirty too. How about we dive at your legs? Would you like that? It is unbelievable the crap that Patrick Mahomes gets away with. I lost a lot of respect for him. I'm more like Kelsey, Andy Reid, and Mahomes system quarterback. That's what I think about the Chiefs right now. But to the offense, man, they just – I kind of blame it on Slowick on that rush I was watching where CJ's getting immediate pressure. It didn't look like there were any shorter routes. Like, don't you have some plays that are in there to beat the blitz? And that's Spags was just blitzing him up at the end of the game there, especially in the second half. You got to have some plays to counter that. And it seemed like CJ was just dropping back and hoping to find Nico on a crosser or Hutch or, you know, Schultz, something like that. Charlie's right. When you get to where you're fighting the clock, you can't run mixing as much as you want, and he was having some success today. So at the end of the day, they just don't have enough playmakers on offense. That's why I was so disappointed that Deontay Johnson was released. They needed somebody else that could get open, because Nico Collins, they had two guys on him for a lot of the game today.
I suggest Deontay Johnson goes and have one-on-one offseason workouts with Chris Boyd. How about that jackass play to start the game? As if you're not stupid enough taking off your helmet and chucking it, then going and shoving coordinator Frank Ross. I don't know if he'll be cut or told you can Amtrak it back to Houston. You know, the NFL is going to have to come to a point of reckoning on being able to change a couple of more calls, right? The stoppages, it won't be like the end of an NBA game, at least. The first one with Anderson, the problem was the referee behind the play, and there was helmet-to-helmet contact, but it wasn't crown and vicious. But from where the referee's making that call, there's a little bit of assumption there that you see Mahomes' head go back, and there was contact. But, you know, that one was borderline. The second one was terrible. That was closer to friendly or fire with the two defenders than it was. And then Mahomes trying to look, flopping's part of the NBA, and now it's part of the NFL. But shame on Toto for giving an opportunity, right? How many Texans fans are probably thinking they're going to throw the flag? They're going to throw the flag. And they didn't throw the flag on that one, but pushing him at all when he's at the sideline to give him the chance to flop. That's just dumb football. And let's throw him into the Texans' defense. It's too bad Aziz Elshire couldn't have been suspended for this game. Because my goodness, was he brutal. The single biggest play of the game, Travis Kelce, the 49-yarder. I mean, it looked like he was moving in slow motion. Alshire lost him in coverage. And then, after Bullock whiffs on the tackle, Alshire whiffs on the tackle, and Kelsey's able to get it down near the goal line where the Chiefs are able to punch it in and get the 13-3 lead. Not a game that Alshire will be happy to see the film.
We also kept to give D'Amico a little bit of this when they went for it. What was the 4th and 10 where they barely got the play in and CJ barely got everybody lined up? That was the game on the line right there. You got to call a timeout there. And then what happens? The guys did what you expect. They barely got set to get the playoff. And then Schultz misses a block and gives up immediate pressure. The play had no chance. Take your timeout right there. This is the game. This is the season. You know, D'Amico's usually good, but I think he made a big mistake.
I didn't mind
right
going for it on 4th and 10, where if you punt, it's not like Tommy Rockets has been great this season. And of course he shanked one in this game, where if you felt, oh, he'll definitely pin them inside the 10 and play the field position game. But that's presuming that you would get that stop of the Chiefs, who just driven the field after the Texans had gotten within a point. But yes, the sequencing, the timing of the operation, and you know, you can imagine D'Amico thinking, well, I don't want to burn a timeout here. But the way you structure it, you damned yourself if you did, damned yourself if you didn't. They'd come off 3 straight incompletions, jailbreak pass rushes that Stroud had to get rid of the ball on the 2 prior plays, and then you take a 16-yard sack on 4th down. So, you know, credit to the Chiefs. This does not go down as a 1-score game, but boy, in contested games in the fourth quarter, it's just incredible. And we thought a couple of things that we discussed in the preview, that in the head-to-head coordinator matchup, Steve Spagnuolo, it's an easy winner over Bobby Slowick. It played out that way. And that for the Texans to win in Kansas City, they were going to have to generate a takeaway or two. You figured they generated none. Mahomes, the Chiefs overall, 8 consecutive games now without a turnover, and they earned their way to a home game against the Bills-Ravens winner to see if that three-peat bid's still alive.
Texans defense definitely kept them in this game with the force field that was allowed to be around Mahomes. Meanwhile, KC defenders seemingly went for Stroud's legs all game long, but it's fitting that we see Mahomes flop considering he kind of gets protected the way that the Golden State Warriors did in their prime when they were just allowed to get away with moving screens constantly during the game. You know it going into it, so you can't really complain about it. You know it's something that exists. I think funny, if not validating, to hear the broadcast crew say stuff like, oh, come on, when a flag would get thrown on a play. And I held my breath every time the defense made a big stop, or I just was like waiting to see if a flag came because it was like, oh my God, you dared touch Mahomes. But this was not because of the refs. This loss was because of some really critical errors that the Texans made. Man, we have to highlight special teams. A 63-yard kickoff return to open the game. The defense holds up, but 2 missed field goals, a missed point after, a short punt in the fourth quarter. Frank Ross's special teams has been money all season. They've been a winner for Houston, but boy, did they pick one of the worst times to have their worst games of the season. Charlie, your thoughts on special teams?
Fairbairn shows shakiness down the stretch of the season. A couple of the biggest extra point tries of his career, he's fluffed them both. The Colts game to end the regular season last year, where it could have cost him a playoff spot. And then today, a chance to tie the game. Momentum's a very overrated word. Forget momentum. You'd have tied the game. Instead, you're down a point. You know, I don't think the Texans' defense, its dauber was down because, oh, Kaimi. And that's why the Chiefs drove it right down the field for a touchdown after that. But you can't just leave points on the field like that. The defense overall, yeoman work. The Chiefs had, 212 yards of total offense in the game. To the victors belong the spoils. But is DeAndre Hopkins on the Chiefs? I mean, just a non-entity rubbed out in this game. Justin Reed, though, we know that he is on the Chiefs and still alive for a third Super Bowl ring in 3 years with Kansas City, because the Texans didn't want to pay going rate to keep him when he hit free agency 3 years ago. Oops.
Speaking of Reed, he was offsides, it looked like, on that missed field goal opportunity there from Fairbairn. They didn't call sure that was. One. The penalty on Jack Mason, that wasn't a holding penalty. So there were a lot of these that went on. But Fairbairn, dude, when money's on the table, big moment situations, I don't trust the guy. I want to say something a lot meaner than that, but I'll just say I don't trust him in big situations. Remember, they could have taken the lead before halftime against the Ravens last year, and he missed that field goal too, and that one wasn't that far. So, and the one that got blocked, I mean, I don't even think the guy jumped. I think he just had his hand in the air. It looked like he got just really low elevation on the angle of the kick. I don't know what the hell he's doing. So I worry about him going forward. I said it when they gave him the contract. I was like, man, I don't know. I know he's pretty accurate in the regular season, but, you know, we've talked about this. The Texans, they haven't had a lot of really intense, important games over the last few years until last season. So Fairbairn was kicking a lot of games that were just kind of meaningless. So now we're seeing him in big time opportunities and he's struggling. So I got to give the defense a lot of credit, but I mean, Charlie's right. Al Shire, I'm just like, how can you leave Travis Kelce amongst anybody just butt-ass naked, wide open, over and over and over again? And Charlie hit on it. Hopkins, he didn't have any catches. I don't think Hollywood Brown had any catches either. Yeah, I have it right here. Yeah, he didn't. I mean, the only one that did anything, Worthy had 5 catches, and then Kelce, 7 for 117. No other receivers had a catch in the game. So the Texans corners did their job in this one, but you'd think they'd pay a little more attention to Travis Kelce. So that was disappointing. I didn't see a lot of Christian Harris in this game. Maybe I just missed him, but I saw a lot of toe-to-toe. But we knew Harris, he's been dealing with that injury for a while. Maybe he wasn't able to get a full complement of work. And we're just lucky that Mixon got to play. I wonder, did he get hurt at practice or something with him picking up that questionable tag? And Robert Woods missed practice all week. Texas just really banged up coming in.
One thing I wonder about a little bit, the weather factor, it being cold. Anytime Nico Collins is not on the field, especially given the Texans wide receiver core presently or at season's end, beyond him. It's like, oh no, Nico, get out there. You're not hurt? Please get out there. Cold. And if he's running deeper routes or crossing routes that, you know, you're not going way downfield, but you're covering ground, those lungs can start to burn. So I don't know if he just needed to catch his breath for a play here or there. And, you know, maybe a play here or there that he would have been on the field that he wasn't. Maybe he could make a difference. But most of the back half of the fourth quarter, C.J. Stroud's dropping back 1-1,000. Look out! So he didn't have much opportunity to get stuff going downfield anyway.
The moments just seemed clearly too big for Fairbairn, especially, you know, down the season and especially in this game. If he's kicking for this team next season, I just don't see how this team is serious about winning. On defense, the Texans definitely showed up. They pressured Mahomes all game, brought him down three times. But too many times, Travis Kelce was just wide open in the middle of the field and in the end zone. Just absolutely unforgivable. Talk about the dichotomy of defense where so many times up front pressuring them all day, but leaving Kelce wide open in critical moments to where he can make big catches. Of all guys, how do you leave that guy open?
Bizarre. The long gainer that we talked about, that was Elshire blowing the coverage. They showed it very well on the broadcast that he breaks to the outside. But why would you ever ignore Kelce, and why would you open up the middle of the field? So a brain cramp, bad reaction, and then to botch the tackle, both Bullock and Elshire after that. The touchdown, all right, Mahomes buys a little time. But again, you know, at this point in his career, it's not as if Kelsey's going to plant a foot in the ground and make such a lightning cut. Oh, you can't keep up with him. But he just sits there in the end zone and then looks down. Was that it, Toto? As if to say, yeah, you weren't in the area soon enough, buddy. I mean, part of why he's a Hall of Famer, and Mahomes and Kelce, they are simpatico. Nevertheless, serious, serious, in part, season-ending defensive breakdowns. Right? Anybody but Kelce. It's like in the NBA, the best leading scorer, the star. Make someone else beat you, you know, peak Barry Bonds. And Kelce is not peak Barry Bonds at this point of his tight end career. But, you know, anyone else, make someone else beat you. And the Texans let that guy beat them.
They did. And you wonder if the way the Chiefs added so much speed this offseason meant that they had to deploy Stingley and Lassiter. They had to be after Worthy and after Hollywood Brown. That the Chiefs really have some explosive playmakers now. And then you lose track of Kelce in the middle of the field. So it looked kind of easy for them at times. And when you have Andy Reid calling plays, that was a big thing I noticed today, too. I'm just, what if C.J. Stroud had Andy Reid in an offensive line that could keep him standing up? What would that actually look like? I hope we get to find that out sometime in the playoffs. There's no maybe. They got to fix this offensive line in the offseason, whether it's draft, whether it's free agency. You got to get a new coach in there. I thought Bobby Slowick, some of the play calling was okay today, but at the same time, if you can't protect your quarterback, it's a fail.
And we knew that the Texans were coming into this game with a bad offensive line, questionable scheming on offense, ineffective run blocking, ineffective pass protection, down two wide receivers. But Houston keeps this game close. Now, there are no moral victories in the NFL. A loss is a loss. You get sent home in the second round again. But does this game show at least that this team can hang with the upper echelon of teams and with some strategic overhauls in the right place, that this team can be in that A tier of teams in the NFL that can be a real contender?
They're still tracking well, and they still have a little time on the clock with C.J. Stroud, very cheap. So, don't get caught. Hey, we won the division. The division stinks. That's not a sign of, you're one of the four best teams in the AFC because you won one of the four divisions. Are they going to need Mahomes and the Chiefs to age out? And Josh Allen's 28. Lamar Jackson's 27. So I don't think the Bills and Ravens are going away anytime soon. The Texans are a good team. They're not a great team. I mean, this Chiefs team did not blow many teams out during the course of the year, but they are a championship team time and time and time again, and they hope for a fourth time within the next month. But if the Texans had managed to steal, I thought this was their best chance for a road win. If they were going to win on the road in the playoffs, it would have been this game, as opposed to at Buffalo, Baltimore, if they'd gotten to the AFC Championship game. So They're more have than have not, but they still don't run with the biggest dogs.
I think with CJ, he can do it. I think you have the answer at quarterback. You just need to protect him better, some better schemes. And we talked about it. You got to get more talent at receiver. But yeah, Brandon, they were hanging in this game. And if it wasn't for, you know, a play here, a play there, a penalty here or there, it could have been a lot closer. But that's why I predicted the Chiefs to win by 10, was because when I went back and watched Texans-Browns before I picked the Chargers game last week, I was like, I think the Texans could do this again. I think the defense can really step up and offense can do enough. I think they could beat the Chargers, and I got that right. But when I went back and rewatched Texans-Chiefs from a few weeks ago, I was just like, there's just too many playmakers on the Chiefs, and the play calling's too good. I couldn't see how a depleted Texans team with basically Nico Collins and Joe Mixon and not much else could come out and do it. I thought Hutchinson played a little better than I expected today. It was a shame that, you know, John Metchie only had a couple catches. They need another explosive player like a Tank Dell, but they just don't have that right now. I'll be curious to see what they do. I expect Diggs will leave in the offseason. I wonder how they're going to fill that void. They got to get some more talent, but they also have to fix the O-line. So we'll see which they prioritize. Yeah,
the defense is there. This can be a Super Bowl defensive team. Danielle Hunter's under contract for one more year. Will Anderson's a blossoming presumptive superstar. If we were having a draft of corner tandems, Stingley Lassiter would be a candidate to go at the top of that draft. Kalen Bullock has a little work to do, but a 5-interception rookie season, a good young player. It's about the offense. They scored 10 points in the playoffs last year. They scored 12 points in the playoffs this year. In most of their heavyweight opponent games, the offense was not good enough. And so the O-line and then the scheming, where, you know, it's closer on the margins against more elite competition. If you get out-coached, that can be the difference. And, you know, Slowick versus Spagnuolo, you're going to probably get out-coached as well as outperformed in the trenches. And that's a hurdle they're going to have to clear. But it's not scaling Mount Everest at this point. At least they're on the mountain with climbability, if that's a word.
Yeah, it all starts with the quarterback, and they have their quarterback, and you just need to be able to build around him. They clearly do not have the tools to protect him at this point, or even establish a run game consistently to where you can play off of that. Guys, give me your final thoughts on this game and this playoff run before we're out the door.
Honorable in defeat this year, I guess, as opposed to last year getting blown off the field in the second half at Baltimore. So I think if you're a Texans fan, optimism is warranted. It's relatively easy to go from bad to mediocre to pretty good. The step to true excellence is the toughest one to take, and that's the challenge that's down there for the Caserio-Ryans regime.
I think after watching Kelce the last few years and how he steps it up in the playoffs, CJ Stroud needs, I know you're not going to get a Hall of Famer like Travis Kelce, but could you get a really, like, you know, Bowers from the Raiders? Could, you know, invest in a really top quality tight end? I think that CJ needs another counter, because a lot of times they'll take away your receivers. You saw Nico Collins getting bracketed all day today. So, and he still had a decent game, but, you know, it wasn't great. It wasn't enough. So I'd like to see a really athletic, talented tight end. Preferably one that can block a little bit too. I know those guys are kind of unicorns. They're hard to find. That's why you typically have to draft them pretty high. But there are some of these young ones in the league that are really showing something. Maybe that's where they look in the draft, because Dalton Schultz, he's okay. But there's a reason why the Cowboys let him left, and they don't really miss
it. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We'll be back here on Monday for a season recap, so make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And if you're an Astros fan, the three of us host an Astros podcast called Stone Cold Stros on our other channel, Sports Map Houston, so make sure you're following us there. We hope to see you back here on Monday. For Charlie, Josh, I'm Brandon. Until next time, go Texans.